This is where life begins. This is where the church begins. This is where you and I and the world around us begins again. Here in the darkness, in the emptiness, in the silence, we have nothing. All our success, our status, our prestige, our respect and position in the community have been stripped away. Like the Lord we saw crucified yesterday, we stand naked. Ecce homo. Behold the man, said Pontius Pilate. And we beheld ourselves, humankind, stripped of all pretension, revealed as we truly are. We have seen ourselves as we came to the foot of the cross. We have seen both the cruel barbarity of which our kind is capable, and we have seen the heroism, the endurance, the patience, the forgiveness also of which humanity is capable. And then it ends. We are left with our human predicament, having the knowledge of good and evil, just like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. We are still fallen humanity. The psalmist in yesterday's psalm was right when he said, I am a worm and no man. We turned away from the cross as the man died, and with him our hope. But as we turned away, we heard him whisper. We turned back. He does not repeat himself. Indeed, he cannot repeat himself. His eyes are closed. His heart has stopped pumping. He is dead. But did we hear aright? Didn't he say, it is finished? Not, I'm a dead man, or it's all over, but it is finished. As though, like an artist, he had stepped back from the painting he just completed and knew that it was very good. As though it is finished meant the work was completed, brought to perfection. We have been here before. We've heard similar words. At the beginning of all things, when the universe was null and void, pitch black and silent, God breathed upon the face of the water and created the heaven and the earth. And last of all, he created creatures of unsurpassed loveliness that reflected the face of the Creator himself. God spent himself to the uttermost, gave his all, when he uttered his word that brought all things into being. And God looked at the paradise and the human creature he had created and said, it is very good. And having spent himself in loving his creation into being, he rested the seventh day from his intense labors. It was finished. And finished, brought to perfection, it might have been, had not his lovely creatures grasped at more and more, aspiring not simply to share God's likeness and his love, but to be God. This Eden, as that first garden was called, would have remained our human paradise. But Adam and Eve, our mythical forebears, who are yet so real, did think their equality with God was something to be snatched, hoarded, and appropriated. At that moment of their disobedience, the world, beautiful though it still remained, changed, and humankind, still bearing the loveliness of their divine origins, changed as well. In their pursuit of godlikeness, they had forfeited the one thing that made them godlike. Not power or glory or success or even free will. The thing we had forfeited was intimacy with God. We would never again call God Father, Abba, dearest Daddy. We had turned our back on heaven, which was our home, and stormed off to the far country like the prodigal son in Luke's famous parable, thinking that we knew better. End of story? Not quite. For God, who is love, never fails, and his word does not return to him empty. He followed us into the far country and sent his Son to find us and bring us home. The Son, though he had indeed equality with God, did not snatch at, hoard, or appropriate his divinity. But as we've been remembering many times this week, the Son showed Adam and Eve, our ancestors, how sons and daughters should behave in responding to the love that is lavished upon them. This Son of God, this new Adam, emptied himself, took human flesh. Indeed, he humbled himself as a servant, and more than that, such was his self-emptying that he became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Why? To reverse the legacy of Adam, to contradict the disobedience of our forebears. And though a self-giving love, and through a self-giving love at which we can only wonder, he restored that precious intimacy with God that we had lost. That is why the Son, hanging on the cross, could whisper through the tears and anguish of his dying, "It is finished. Consummatum est." God's work in creation has at last been brought to its perfect end. Jesus was placed in a nearby tomb, and the God rests from his labors as he did at the birth of creation. We have gathered here, well, the lights are on now, but we have gathered here in the darkness, in the emptiness, in the silence. We have nothing. All our success, our status, our prestige, our respect in the community has been stripped away. And it is precisely at this moment that God recognizes the features of the one he has loved from all eternity. He sees what terrible disfigurement his human brothers and sisters have inflicted on him. But yet he recognizes him even from a distance as he runs to meet him to bring him home. He orders sandals for his feet, the royal robe to be brought, the ring of sonship to be placed on his finger, the fatted calf to be slaughtered. For my disfigured son has come home. He was dead and is alive. And at that moment, if I may make so bold with Luke's beautiful parable, at that precise moment, the Son reveals that his bending down to embrace the human condition has involved going further still into hell and back. And with him he has brought Adam and Eve, and every mortal since, whose intimacy with the Father has been lost and is now restored, including us. That's why we're here, so that we can learn again to say, "Our Father, Abba, dearest Daddy," so that we can feast with the Son at the banquet he has prepared, so that we who were in the pigsty can enter again into paradise, where we are given the name that is above every other name. When you leave this evening, I hope you'll take with you the hymn that you'll find in your orders of service. It's a kind of present from me for the wonderful welcome and hospitality I and Simon, my partner, have received here with you in this last week. This hymn I wrote for an oratorio which the two of us wrote called Resurrection. And this hymn tries to say in verse form what I've been trying to say this evening in prose. But let me just in conclusion quote the last verse. Though the garden of Eden's grown over with tumbleweed, bramble, and briar, the gardener returns as he promised. The phoenix is raised from the fire. The embers return to cold ashes. A new fire now bursts into flame. A new alleluia is sounded for Jesus, old Adam's new name. It is finished. Well, the sermon may be. but everything else, by God's grace, has just begun. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.